got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo! Let's go, baby. 3 hours away. Hey, we welcome you in here to the Monday, June 30th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Alongside you know
what who. What are you doing with him?
Roll with, man.
It's our guy, man.
So we roll
guy.
With.
That's what we doing out here.
All right, 3 hours in counting.
And what'd your boy say?
You're going to... What? Who?
He is your boy. He's my boy, too.
Who?
Shams. What'd he say? He said this is going to be, like, one of the biggest nights ever. No, I don't want to quote.
Did he say that today?
I think he said big moves are coming tonight.
Yeah.
Something like that.
To Pat McAfee. Now, Shams also told us, don't go to sleep. And nothing really happened.
To be honest, did he tell us that or he told SVP that? Maybe that was just personal.
He told SVP that. Yeah, it could have been personal. Could have been personal.
So.
Right.
It was a threat. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been. Yo, you owe me some money, bro. Don't go to sleep tonight.
That's a funny ass threat. Hey, man, don't go to sleep, dog. Well, okay. I don't. Okay, to be clear, whatever Sean's talking about, I don't think that involves Sacramento.
No.
Unless it's the big Dennis Schroeder signing that at this point, it feels inevitable. Like, yeah. We hear stuff. It seems to be all over the league. Mm-hmm.
It feels like the worst kept secret right now.
Like, I guess this is a thing. It has gone from, you know, the Kings are, like, in on Dennis Schroeder. Oh, this is a negotiation tactic by Dennis Schroeder. To Detroit being like, no, it's actually not. To all of a sudden, I mean, there's...
I think Kyle Madsen was
rumors of number.
Like, yeah, Kyle Madsen was throwing those out this morning.
Again, I don't know if they're real, but we've got numbers. I just don't know if they're real.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Dennis Schroeder thing is happening. I know Mark Stein's writing about Russell Westbrook, Malcolm Brogdon. On the Russ, you guys know how I feel about what Russell Westbrook. I did attempt to inquire. I don't think that's a thing. I also think Russell Westbrook had his team weeks ago. I do think Sacramento makes sense. It makes sense because of the need at the position and the proximity to Los Angeles. That absolutely makes sense. I think there's a handful of other teams that I think Dallas makes a lot of sense if they don't go the D'Angelo Russell route. I think any team that lost their point guard to a torn Achilles makes a lot of sense for Russell Westbrook. But again, I think he knew who he was signing with weeks ago, and I don't think that was Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brogdon, I know absolutely nothing about. The only, you know, Malcolm Brogdon as a player, the only thing I've ever heard about Malcolm Brogdon is he believes he is the smartest person in the room in every room that he's in, and that includes coaches, general managers, owners, whatever. Malcolm Brogdon is smarter than you. And so that's, I feel like, why he's had difficulty sticking with teams. I think he just wears thin on people.
I'm good off of Malcolm Brogdon.
But I don't know. Yeah, you hate Malcolm Brogdon.
Well, no, I don't hate him. I'm just not, and I'm not like encouraged by it. He's a good basketball player. High IQ, comes from good stock, playing at Virginia and everything. Like, he's cool, but I'm not interested in Malcolm Brogdon. Man, you know, got injury
concerns. Should we cancel the term good stock? It feels, I don't know.
Maybe. Potentially.
Okay.
If it came down to, like, Russ and Brogdon, too, I think I'd take Russ. Not even 100%. Think. I'd go with Russ.
Yeah, it's
10 times out of 10. Yeah,
we're not even debating that if I'm in the front office. Like, nah, we're shutting down any type of debate we're having. Russ and Brogdon, get Brogdon off the whiteboard.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
We're going to get Russ. So, but that's just me. That's just my personal. Once again, Brogdon's not a bad basketball player or nothing like that. Like, he's skilled. He brings some good stuff to the table for a basketball team. I'm just not excited by the thought of him being on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've maintained I like Dennis Schroeder a lot. always have. Mm-hmm. I know there are some people skeptical given the amount of teams that he's been on. We tried to outline this when this story started to bubble last week. The reason, I mean, one, Dennis Schroeder being on a bunch of different teams, it shows that he's wanted. Like, he has a position in the league. He rarely has trouble finding a place in the league. His biggest downfall, though, that has caused so much team hopping is turning down that Lakers contract. Once you know, he turned down a 4-year, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like 480. It was a good chunk of money that he turned down. I guess just poor advice from his agent. Mm-hmm. And that has just led to a series of short-term deals. And when you're on short-term deals, it makes you easily tradable. You could wind up on a team that you think is going somewhere. You find out quickly it's not. Well, you move a piece who is coveted is a strong term, but a guy who can be utilized across the league. Flip side to that is I do believe the Kings are trying to move players, and I think they're having a hell of a time because the guys they're trying to move might not be coveted. And I don't think there's one. I think there's multiples. I do not think this is DeMar DeRozan. I don't think they want to trade DeMar DeRozan. I don't think they've even entertained the thought of trading Zach LaVine. Maybe it's because they know the difficulties of it. Maybe they don't have any interest in doing it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's guys that they're trying to trade, and the league is just like, it's a cool dog.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I mean, I got into a few back. It wasn't even a back and forth. It was just like I read it. Maybe I responded. Maybe I didn't. But after the Lonzo to Cleveland trade,
man,
I had the tweet out there. I was like, man, like, and Isaac Okoro was the one that went back from Cleveland to Chicago. And the first thing I thought was, man, Chicago didn't want Devin Carter. Like, Devin Carter is not somebody that they would want if they taken back Isaac Okoro. A lot of people thought that was crazy, thought it was ridiculous that you would ever consider trading Lonzo for Devin Carter, and thought it was crazy that anybody would give up on Devin Carter after his first year in the league. And a couple things to that, like Devin Carter, he showed me some things. I continue to say that. This first stint in the NBA, I was like, this is all bad. Like it was eye-opening and very, very shocking, concerning that this was the number 13 pick and this is what you had to do. He went, got healthy again, got some time on the court. In his second stint, I thought he did some really good things out there. I think there might be a good basketball, NBA basketball player in there. But to your point, this is why I'm bringing this up. The thought process that, like, it's crazy to want to trade Devin Carter or, like, giving up on this kid and his after his first season that he didn't have a training camp and all this other stuff. A lot of people out there have a different perception of Devin Carter than the rest of the NBA.
Yeah.
The rest of the NBA is looking like, I'm not really interested in Devin Carter. And everybody, there are others who are like, why would you give up on him? Look, you can't, in a lot of ways, you can't make a trade for him right now. People are not buying Devin Carter around the league, the decision makers. So, yeah, I'm starting to think he's going to be around, which brings up a whole nother situation because we've talked a number of different times about how Keon, Malik, Devin, somebody's got to go. There's like, that's a logjam at that position. I don't know if they can get rid of any of them. Mm-hmm. And you're potentially about to sign Dennis Schroeder. And you might try and get another guard. Like, what? I don't know what they're going to do with that situation. Because to your point, the market for some of these guys just ain't there.
Yeah, the one that I think is worth, yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week. We don't have to tiptoe around it. I don't think there's a market for Malik, and I do think they were interested in moving Malik. Mm-hmm. Talk about Devin Carter. One that I think is interesting is Jonas Valanciunas. I don't know that Valanciunas is available or not. I have no idea. The fan base has clamored for Valanciunas or a Valanciunas like for years, but specifically him as a they've begged for him. Mm-hmm. You got him. Now, the interesting thing that Scott Perry is navigating here, one, you drafted the kid out of Stanford.
I like him a lot, too.
And he plays a different way than Valanciunas does, mm-hmm. but he could be a true, legit, big rim protector. I think everybody likes what Valanciunas does. He is a legit starter in this mm-hmm. league. We've outlined this repeatedly with his time with the Sacramento Kings, which makes things interesting given how badly Golden State needs a center, like a true center.
Yep.
Los Angeles needs a true center. Phoenix went and got theirs. So you have a guy at a position that's coveted. It so happens the teams that covet him most are in your division. Not that divisions matter, but you know what I mean. They're in close proximity. Those are teams that desperately covet a center. So I'd imagine Scott Perry's listening to a conversation if someone is calling and asking about Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, you got to at this point because
he's coveted.
Yeah, and that's
well, he might be the only one that is, and I think DeMar is, but I don't know that they're as quick to move off that as people might hope.
Right, and we'll get into everything that happened over the weekend in Kingsland with the Keon Ellis situation, and you talk about people being coveted and who you're looking to move. I don't know. We got to figure out if this team needs to be blown up and it's no good, or they have good players on it. Because how you cannot at least be open-minded to anybody on this team not being here now or in the future and moving on from them completely, yet you think this team is so bad. I don't understand that. So maybe we'll talk through it and somebody will make it make sense to me.
Oh, we'll absolutely talk through it, but no one is going to make it make sense. That's just kind of the state in which we're in. The phone lines are open for you all day. We're here. We ain't going nowhere. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. The NBA free agency begins in just under 3 hours. Whatever we get, we'll just bring it to you. If we get it before 3 o'clock, not that the Kings would do such a thing. But what if we find anything out, we'll pass along what we can. We'll try to bring context to things that happened. I do expect some things to happen at 3 o'clock with the Sacramento Kings. I just don't expect the fan base to be elated over them. We'll talk more about that. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's a big day in the NBA. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Just real quick, because I know Keep It Real G ain't talking to me. I know Isaiah Thomas was expressing his frustration with the sneakers app this morning.
Hey,
you get
No, I didn't, right? Just, look.
It could be a tough look for KC to go, I got him. Meanwhile, Isaiah Thomas is like, man, this is trash.
You know, the funny thing is, somebody, I ain't going to say no names, but I'm going to just say somebody who I love. I got love. This was funny. This was really funny. Who I got love for. They put out some information on the shoes. And, you know, it was kind of close to the situation. So I got in the DMs. I was like, hey, you put aside size 11 for me. And I just got a laughing emoji back. I said, well, what does that mean? I didn't respond to it, but I was like, well, no, like, I'm not laughing. Like, tell me yes or no. Let me know. Just to...
Well, that's, well, remember when I text my girl who does the Travis stuff when the movie the Jordan the sneaker movie,
the one that was on Amazon or something like that.
Ben Affleck. Yeah. He had Chicago Travis Scott's,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I hit her. And she's like, I don't want to say she runs the Travis department, but she's like, if Khaled got Travis Scott shoes, it means she sent them to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, are these shoes is this real? Are these coming out? She responded with a smirking emoji.
What does that mean?
I was like, what is that? Like, yeah. And of course, this was like, what was that? Like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, obviously they never came out, right. But I guess I just sit here and wait.
That, who knows? They were really made.
But you never.
He wore them on Fallon, look, didn't he?
One thing. Yes, that's where everybody saw them. But whether they're coming out or not, who knows? All I know. Do not push your sneaker connect.
Yeah, just, no,
if they don't respond, it's like, hey,
it's good.
You want to send me a smirking emoji? That's fine.
It's cool. It's cool. No problem.
She sent the shoes I have on right now, so I'll take it.
It's cool.
I'll take it 10 times out of 10.
I might even sit there and just laugh back. Like, it's crazy, bro. I know, right? I know. I know, right? Crazy.
Okay. Well, hit me up. Oh, man. We are just over 2.5 hours away from the start of free agency. Of course, a lot happened over the weekend. LeBron James might be the biggest story. We'll get to that one. Mm. A very uncharacteristic move for him opting into the final year of his contract with the Los Angeles Lakers in an oddly worded statement from Rich Paul. Perhaps not oddly worded. It's just left open for interpretation. A lot of people are interpreting it a very, very specific way. And what that could mean for LeBron James, what that could mean for the next 24 to 48 hours will certainly be interesting to follow.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it more, but I think he sees it the way I see it. The way I've been telling Jesse what it is. I've been telling Jesse. Ain't nothing happening with the Lakers.
Okay.
You talking about championships and winning championships? Ain't nothing happening with the Lakers.
Whoa, that was the next 5 years, by the way.
How long we think LeBron playing, like two?
On the Lakers or in the league?
I'm at the point where I'm positive.
He's got two more at most.
LeBron is not. Yeah, that's. I'm with Jesse. Mm-hmm. LeBron is not retiring without us knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that video got put out. Did you see that little snippet of them at that dinner?
Yeah, oh yeah, hey,
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Someone at that like.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Only that part too, huh?
But he said in the next year or two.
Yeah.
So he's not, it's not, LeBron, unless LeBron says before the season starts that this is my last year, then it's not LeBron's last year. Mm-hmm. LeBron will get the biggest retirement tour since Kobe.
Somebody told me, and it was somebody that I.
And he deserves it, by the way. That's not shade. Like, LeBron deserves it.
It was somebody that I respect. And knows these type of things. I can't remember. Maybe it was Jesse or D'Lo. I don't know. But
I hope you respect us.
Somebody had said, and I disagree, but it said LeBron's not going out like that. He's not going out with a farewell tour. And I was like, for real? You think so? No. He's like, nah, you're not. He's not going out. He doesn't want all that. And it was somebody. It was somebody that made me like, that's what you think? But I can't remember. Even if I remembered, I wouldn't tell you who it was on the air. But I remember hearing that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, obviously the LeBron story is huge. You mentioned this a few moments ago, the Lonzo Ball trade. I think it upset a lot of Kings fans. I know I was upset.
I was
kind of angry. I'm like, yo, for real? Lonzo, man. Okay. And then I think Lonzo was before the Sexton deal. So Colin Sexton gets moved. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right. I mean, to be clear, no one ever told us the Sacramento Kings were going to acquire Lonzo Ball. No one ever told us that the Sacramento Kings we're going to acquire Colin Sexton. We looked at the landscape of the league and thought, man, who would be nice? Well, Lonzo Ball. I wonder, I have to wonder if the hesitation behind not, and I don't, I be careful how I word this. I don't know if they made a play for Lonzo Ball or not.
Mm.
It feels like they could have offered something better, but, we just outlined the difficulties this team is having when discussing players around the league. But I wonder if there was a hesitation, like we really can't be Chicago West. We can't do this.
Mm.
I think that's a massive mistake, but
that wouldn't affect.
I have to imagine Scott Perry would just truly not give a crap.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was trying to figure out like how could we have not have beaten that offer? Because I'm involved in it. How? And then the Sexton thing was just like, man, all right. So everybody's moving. And
the Sexton deal was bizarre. For both sides. I'm not sure what
I don't know
both
what
sides are doing.
Oh, neither.
Like unless it's for another deal.
Charlotte is worthless.
Damn.
They are. Like Charlotte is worthless. With all due respect.
They declined the option on Trey Mann today.
Well, that's definitely got got Kings fans talking a little bit.
I'm interested in Trey Mann. I don't think Kings fans talking a little bit. I'd be shocked if Trey Mann became a target for the Sacramento Kings. But that's somebody that you take a chance on. That's, you know, and a lot of these times with guys like Trey Mann, with guys like Johnny Juzang, with guys like Brandon Boston, who's a free agent as well, I look at those guys as low risk, potentially high reward type guys. I would take a chance. Like, if the money's right, if it works out, like, take a chance on Brandon Boston. This guy was at one point, like 3 years ago, one of the top players in the nation in high school, and now he's there for a relatively good price.
But
take a chance.
I know we talk about taking a chance, or the old adage of taking a flyer on somebody, but money is kind of at a premium. Like, you can't just take chances on everybody and still be able to sign players that you need, that you have to have play.
Mm-hmm. You can't have five take chance guys. Like you can't do that.
But you might not be able to have one, given that you're probably, I don't want to say you're trying to make a splash, you're trying to get some things addressed immediately. Mm-hmm. And you do have a Keon Ellis situation now that has made some Sacramento Kings fans really, really uncomfortable. Mm. You're just playing a tough game now with Keon. And I think I put it in the notes. He's extension eligible. Is it February?
So I keep hearing different things. I
think
don't
it's
know
February 9th. Is that wrong?
No, James, uh-huh. And we'll talk to him and we'll see if we get some clarification on that. Unless I heard him wrong, he's up with the belief they can do the extension at any time.
Oh, okay.
But other people are saying it can't be till February 9th. So I'm trying to figure that out too, because I thought it was you can do the extension at any point in time.
Well, I don't understand what the importance of February 9th would be. Like, if he's on your roster, mm-hmm. if you get, like, it's like with the franchise tag in the NFL, you have till a certain date. But once that date passes, there's nothing until the next year where you either come – You either part ways, mm-hmm. franchise again, or you come to a contract solution. Yeah. But there's no once this date is done, it's done.
Right.
And I don't think that's the case with the NBA.
The Sports Illustrated article says he becomes extension eligible on February 9th. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they can work something out before, but maybe that's when you can officially sign something or something. But yeah, they say he's extension eligible February 9th.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I heard that.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But James kind of knows this stuff inside and out. So,
and today on the Insiders, and like I said,
but again, I guess Jesse's right. You could, no, we'll do it. We'll just date it February 10th.
Yeah,
that's all.
So James said on the Insiders, he was like, I don't know, I'm gonna follow up on that because I heard differently, and then he goes, yeah, I was told specifically, because it was with another player. Maybe it was with Keon or another player. I don't know. But he said, I was told specifically by Wes Wilcox they had all year to come up with a deal. I said, well, that is not helping your argument. that is not going to help.
You don't say. Wes Wilcox said that, huh?
That has not given me confidence in what's going on.
You have something to say, Damian?
Nah, man. Salute to Wes Wilcox, man. Hope he's enjoying Utah. Him and Ace Bailey.
Utah Utes.
Wes Wilcox, Ace Bailey, and NBA young boy.
Man.
I wonder if he got out yet. Got off of house arrest. I thought I heard that about a month ago. Oh, no. Got pardoned. That's what happened.
By who?
I don't know.
Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, as if multiple people can pardon someone. One guy who could do it. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line is open for you all day, 916-909-1320. We know everybody is antsy headed into the 3 o'clock start of free agency. The Kings picking up Keon Ellis's option for the year certainly left a lot of people a little anxious, knowing that he could become an unrestricted free agent next season. The max that the Kings can offer Keon Ellis is 4 years, $89 million. Question whether someone would offer him more, probably, it'd probably be a bit crazy. But 4 years, $89 million, is that too much for Keon Ellis? Is that on point for Keon Ellis? Is that the alpha and omega right there? That number, is at the beginning and the end? Mm-hmm. Or are we looking for something a little smaller in dollar figure better for Keon?
For me, that seems a little rich for Keon Ellis.
20 plus per?
Yeah, a player that I really like. I actually love Keon. I think you need Keon Ellis's on your team.
Again, that's the max he can get, not mm-hmm. you know, that's the max.
That's he's a guy that you need on your team if you're going to be a winning ball club. But that seemed to get to that max level for that deal, that seems like a lot. You know, for Keon, I look at him more in that $14 to $15 million range
mm-hmm.
as a.
That's gonna be a popular number today.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a really popular number.
But I don't think he would get that on the open market. I really don't. And then maybe you get into situations where he's more valuable to you than he is some random team. And I understand that, but that. That seems like a lot for Keon. And one of the things that I would ask you, I would ask everybody out there listening, breaking down how these things play out, the contract situation, the Kings cap situation, what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
What would you guys have wanted the Kings to do in this situation? It seems like picking up the option was the best decision they could have made. Smartest decision they could have made.
It buys you time. It probably frustrates the player. And it puts Keon in a position. And this isn't going to scare Keon, but it puts him in a position where he's got to play well. What might scare Keon, and I don't think this is true because Doug Christie is here, and Keon with Doug was different than Keon with Mike. But Keon might feel like going into training camp, he's got to prove himself all over again. And he's got to establish himself, and he's got to be great leading into February whenever, or at least for a sustained period of time, to where that front office goes, hey, we can't make this official till February 10th, or maybe it is February 10th or 9th or whatever. And, you know, we want to work out a long-term deal. We want you to be here for a long time.
Yeah. And from Keon's perspective, I mean, it sucks. You know, yeah. It sucks. It really does. He's worked hard to get to this position where I think his value with the Kings and around the league is way higher than $2 million a year.
Yeah.
Like if he was on the open market,
agreed,
he'd get 10, 12, maybe $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the contract situation that he's in and the situation that the Sacramento Kings franchise is in right now, this was the best move for them to make. It comes at a risk because you may upset him. You may end up losing a guy like Keon Ellis who you don't want to lose. But this was the move to make for this franchise from everything that I've seen written and talked about with the options that they have by picking up the options, picking up his option, and the options they would have by signing him to an extension on Sunday or Saturday, whatever day that was.
Mm-hmm.
This was the move to make for the franchise.
Our man Michael asks here on youtube.com/ESPN1320 over in the Chatty House, what is February 9th in relation to the trade deadline next season? Can we trade Keon if he doesn't sign the extension? I don't know that we have the trade deadline for next year yet, Michael, but there's – can you trade Keon? Yeah, of course you can't. But there's probably no point because, remember, he's a $2 million player right now. Mm-hmm. So he's probably getting thrown in on a trade that is bigger. Otherwise, you're trading a $2 million player, which isn't going to net you anything that any Sacramento Kings fan is going to be happy with. Right. So I'd probably erase the idea of the Kings trading Keon from your thought process because it just wouldn't make any sort of sense. Mm-hmm.
NBA on their website has the trade deadline. It's February 6th, 2026.
Okay, terrific. Terrific, terrific. Do we have, do we have opening day yet?
I can look that up.
Sometimes they put like a list of important days. Right.
They have the NBA Finals day ready for next year.
They might. Let's get DJ in here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. DJ, what's happening, baby?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Piggybacking off of the Lonzo Ball thing that you guys talked about earlier, man, when I seen that trade go through for what they got back, man, my stomach dropped. I felt like if we had got Lonzo Ball next to, you know, LaVine, you know, Lonzo being 6'8", 6'7", you know, good defender, you know, when he healthy, he moves pretty good still. I thought that would have been great. And if we would have went out and got somebody to get next to Sabonis, I thought we would have been all right in all right shape. So I think the Kings are like holding the cards for real. I think we look at it as Kings fans and say, like, you know, maybe people are like undervaluing our players, but I think the Kings is the ones holding the cards and being hesitant to move.
Hmm. Okay.
All right, he said a couple things there. He said a couple things.
I feel you regarding Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the Kings holding the cards. I think they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kings are trying to make deals, and they're just not.
Do we think Lonzo's better than Dennis Schroeder?
I think he's different. I think these are I think they're two different.
Okay, how about this? What skill set do you think the Kings could have used more?
Lonzo's. Lonzo, shout out to Kyle Madsen, in a vacuum is a better player than Dennis Schroeder. There are concerns with how Lonzo can hold up. Like, we thought he wasn't going to play basketball no more. And he came back. He got a procedure done. He was able to at least be on the court and play. He's still not a guy that's playing 70 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think skill set-wise, everything he brings to the table, I would like Lonzo better than Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other factors that come into play, injury history, all this other stuff, that if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably go Dennis mm-hmm. over Lonzo. Mm-hmm. And even when I say bringing in Lonzo, Lonzo for me was always as a backup point guard. Like, if you sign it, trading for
really
Lonzo, yeah, you can't trust the knee to be a star. That's the only thing.
I hear you.
Skill set, talent wise, he's got that. He's got everything to be a starter.
Give me a starting point guard's name then. Because Russ was a backup, Dennis was a backup. Now, I always slotted Lonzo as a starter. Mm-hmm. I understand your point.
Yeah. Dennis, I mean, he's probably going to end up being your starting point guard.
Oh, no, I think he is. Yeah. But didn't you say ideally you'd rather have Dennis?
Yeah.
So who's thinking, ideally the starter?
Well, I'm thinking Darius Garland, somebody like that. Oh. Like, go after one of them guys. Free agent-wise?
I don't think that's a thing.
Free agent-wise, there's no
yeah,
starting, you know, top level starting point guards. You had to go acquire them, in my opinion, to go get one of those guys in the trade market. But if you weren't able to do that, you get back to Schroeder. You get back even Russ. Like, I think Russ's days as a starter kind of done. But
he was really good off the bench last year. Then he came in and was really good as a starter when they needed him to be, and kind of transitioned back to that role nicely afterwards.
Right. I think Schroeder can start for you. Like, I don't. He's a starter, but when we talked about earlier in the beginning of the Kings offseason, at least, finding one of those, James says, and I agree with him, one of those top 15 point guards in the league, I don't think Schroeder is that. You know, he's above the Trey Jones and guys like that, but he's not Garland and those type of guys. So, I'm okay with Schroeder, man. Like, I think I think people kind of going off the deep end with the hate for Schroeder, and like, no, not Dennis Schroeder. Like,
nah,
we're talking about a guy that's 14-5 for his career.
Mm-hmm.
He has played on winning basketball teams. You know, very rarely did he play on teams that weren't any good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was part of the success of those winning basketball teams. Like, they needed him to perform at the level he has over his career. I think he's a really good point guard. I think he's a really, really good point guard. I think guys, people here in Sacramento, they're kind of undervaluing Dennis a little bit. I think he's cool.
I agree. I like Dennis a lot.
Yeah, I'm not here to make it like you signed this all-star point guard. That's not what I'm trying to say.
He's a good basketball player.
He's a good ball player. I like Dennis Schroeder as a ball
player. You think it's disappointing, just given the names we talked about and heard about month less and all that, and just maybe, like, do we think Dennis Schroeder was a top three option for this front office? Like basically, like, yeah, like, is this like option D or whatever? Could that make it disappointing, I guess? Is that where it's coming from, possibly?
Let me ask this question and see if it factors into how you look at this thing. Is it option D because they chose to get to option D, or option D because they weren't able to get anybody else? Because I think there's a difference there.
Do you think they struck out on others first?
I don't think so. I think they walked away from a couple, or one specifically.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, right. There was at least a conversation about Trey. Mm-hmm. How far that went, I'm not really sure. But that was it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's, you know, option, you know, eight things down the line. One thing that I think that is happening that maybe they weren't quite prepared for, maybe they were. I don't think the players on this roster have the value across the league that some people that we and perhaps the front office thought. This is, I don't want this to come across the way that I know it's going to come across, but we love him as our guy, fans, regardless of the uniform he's wearing on. Malik signed here early last year for a reason. It wasn't there. I know we want to believe, oh, Malik, I stayed for the pizza. Like, nah, it's not really what happened. There weren't suitors out there for my guy. There weren't suitors out there, especially at the cost. I know everybody said, oh, 18 mil's a bargain. 18 mil's a bargain. What does that tell you? Malik signs, what's that tell you about what last summer looked like? And now you get in here and you had, at best, last summer, limited teams inquiring with Malik Monk and his agent. What do you think that looks like this year? If the market has already been set, now in his market has been set, like it's solidified. If you had people skeptical of that last year, what do you think they are this year? And you've got to give up assets to move. Navigating, it's what makes the LeBron James thing so fascinating. If Rich and LeBron's plan is to execute a trade, executing a trade for a $50+ million player to a team that's going to win is virtually impossible unless you have a Chris Paul contract. Unless you have a $40 million contract for a player you don't care about that you can just unload and not think about again. And when you talk about contending teams, be it Cleveland, Boston, whoever, who has that contract? No, I don't know that anybody does. We're in an interesting world. We're at an interesting time in the NBA.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that real quick. People are scared to death of these aprons.
Facts.
Like, if they're going to make a move, they are going to be – they ain't taking no flyers. They are going to be 100% sure, because these aprons, first and second, even getting close to the first, these NBA teams shook right now. So I think that affects the market too. And like you said, it's a real interesting time in the league right now.
We'll come back. Man, there's just so much to discuss. We're here all day. Free agency starts at 3. Phone lines are open for you now. 916-909-1025 is D'Lo and Kate. Nope. 916-909. Thank you. I'll show myself out. It's D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320. All right, 916-909-1320.
There we go.
If you'd like to get in on the conversation.
So I'm going to try to talk trades on KSFM right now.
It's a damn shame. What's our girl's name? RTC. She's RTC over there.
Not Precious.
No, it's not Precious. It's Patience. No, Patience?
No, it's...
what is that girl's name? It's, she's our TC over there, but we don't...
Yeah, what's my girl's name?
It begins with a P.
It is... It's not Prentice.
Apprentice?
No.
Crap. This the whole show really is about to go on hold.
All right, everyone in the chat, start naming names that start with the letter P.
It's really going to bother me. Oh, brother.
All right. Forget it. Oh God. This is like that obsessive, like, cycle where you just get stuck in your head and you can't.
Was it Priscilla? Chris Kirk says Priscilla. No,
it wasn't Priscilla.
I'm gonna
Penelope.
It wasn't
Patricia.
Because I know somebody that knows her. I'm about to text her.
Let me go to the show account. Is it Empress? Is it Empress?
Empress? It is Empress.
Does not start with a P, by the way.
It does not start with a P. No. Our girl Empress trying to get her King's Take idea off. Sorry, Empress. We messed up. My bad. Real quick, shout out to the handful of D'Lo and KC listeners that were at Wake Up Call Live Friday. Mm. That was pretty dope.
It looked really cool, man. Great turnout.
Oh, incredible turnout. Yeah. Those guys put on a really good show. Katie and Kevin are two of the funniest human beings you'll ever meet. Kevin's entrance got a 1998 Austin level pop. Katie and Gavin come out and Kevin doesn't, and they're selling this story, and credit to the both of them because they're selling the story that Kevin is sick, and I watched the crowd eat it up. The disappointment, like when they thought Kevin wasn't there, they even started the show. Uh-huh. They did Are You Smarter Than Katie? They did one of their biggest segments before Kevin comes out. And again, this is a credit to both of them. The lights cut out, and they sold it. And you hear like murmurs, and they're looking around. All of a sudden, these fog machines go off, and this music hits. And my guys Robert and David come out. They're like bouncers, and they're moving people away. No one is around. And then Kevin comes out in this like pink fur coat that Katie found, and they take it off him. He's got the microphone in his hand. What's up, bitches? And when I tell you that crowd popped, oh my God, the sustained roar from that crowd when they saw Kevin is
that's what's up.
Kevin might be the biggest star in this city. I am dead serious.
Man, he's a star.
I talk all of the time about how people approach Katie. It's an amazing thing to see. Mm. Every single one of them, with zero exclusions, ask a question about Kevin. So they'll ask some question. It's normally the same one, but they'll ask some question about Kevin every single time. And to see that crowd that was probably just under 1,000 people at the Crest Theater in a very hot Crest Theater react to Kevin that way was awesome. So much of the show was built around him, and like, oh, he is just terrific.
He's a star, man.
He is an absolute, he's a mega star.
Yeah.
He is a mega star. I know there's video out there of it, but the reaction from inside the building was so good. But the point is, D'Lo and KC got a lot of love out there. I was a very tiny part of the show where Katie talked about us for a few minutes, but it was clear that a lot of people knew who D'Lo and KC were.
Shout out to the people.
That was cool. Shout out to everybody that came through.
Yes, indeed.
And they're all on pins. They were asking Kevin, what are the Kings going to do in free agency? Kevin didn't have an answer.
I don't know, bitch.
Yeah, bitch, I don't know. Give me another. What's his drink? Espresso. It's some sort of like chocolate espresso or something, but it's the most Kevin drink you could think of. But every time we're out together, like, that's what he orders. Talking the Kings.
They need to do more stuff at the Crest Theater. That's a hidden.
Yeah, I would request that they turn the air on earlier in the day. Mm. I was very thankful by the end of the show that the crowd didn't get restless because it was hot. Mm. Like, as a shoot, it was really hot.
Was the air out?
No, it was on. I just think they turned it on too late. Mm. And so that's a it's a huge facility. Mm-hmm. And it just took a really long time to, like, when the first time that I really felt like, oh, I can feel the air, mm-hmm. there was like 10 minutes left in the show.
Mm. We'll talk about the Kings too. But is there like a speaker system issue at the Crest where they don't have more like shows there? Like, as far as when I say show, I mean like Jacquees wanted to do the Crest Theater. Mm. Like, that seems like a really good venue for something like that.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear one. Of course, they weren't singing, you know, they were talking, but there weren't any mic issues at all. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what again, talking sound is different than singing and, you know, extremely loud music. Like, Oasis was mixing, like, it sounded great. But again, that's very different than Jacquees performing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure.
There was one time I went to the Crest for some awards or something like that. I forgot what it was.
Sacramento Man of the Year that you won 3 years running?
No, I've never won that. What are you talking about?
Is that an award?
No, I don't know if it is or not. But it was
let's make it one.
We should.
KC is the four-time Sacramento Man of the Year.
You can catch me at the Tower Bridge.
The Tower,
as I received the award.
We finally got invited to the dinner. Oh, on the Tower Bridge. Nah, they're actually moving it. Oh, God damn. Really? Really? All right. Kenny and I got invited last year with 15 minutes notice. We got text. Hey,
come on, man.
Bunch of people canceled. Do you want to go to the Tower dinner? And it's like, nah, man. Like, it's in
what one, time is it?
One, it's in 15 minutes. Two, we have TV in like an hour. Like, no. Actually more insulting than not getting invited.
They just be doing whatever with D-Lo and KC, bro. I'll tell you that. Those days are going to end soon, though. I promise you.
Bro, I'm going to tell you now, those days are over. Mr. Halliburton, if you're listening, I can guarantee you, it's over.
I promise you that. But there were some awards going on at the Crest. I think it was something with like black music or something. And this guy got up there.
Four-time running black Sacramento's Black Musician of the Year, Kenny Caraway.
Who plays no music. None. I never heard of the guy. I think I'm in the minority. I think it's very familiar. But he was telling the story. He's like, this guy, you know, da da da. You know, I did some good things in my life, and then about 3-4 years ago, I got a call from Kanye West, and he said, "Mister, I forgot his name." He said, and you might even know his name. He's like, "Mister, I want to use part of your song for one of my songs. Is it okay if I get clearance?" He's like, "Which one are you talking about?" He's like, "You know,
I ask us something real quick for those that are watching? Why are you pretending to hold a microphone?
Because he was holding a microphone.
When there's one right in front of you."
He was holding a microphone.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about it. Like, oh, yeah, Casey's doing it. But like, yeah, there's one right there, brother.
There's literally a microphone right here, and Casey is pretending to hold one.
Man, well, this one's on a stand. He was just holding the microphone. So I was recreating what he was doing. But he goes,
it's a bold move with this chatty house boy.
he goes, you mean that one part where I go, I was like, oh, that's the dude who sings that. Obviously, that's like
Rolls Royce.
Really, yeah.
No, Lenny Williams.
Super famous mm-hmm. song. I wasn't aware of the mm-hmm. song. I knew the sample though, right? And everybody like went crazy when he did that. And I think he sung a little bit of it too. But I remember even being there then and saying, like, man, they should do more stuff at the Crest Theater.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, I was jumping on Friday. Will downtown be jumping this King season?
Mm.
Who knows? I'm sure Tiger will be.
Tiger definitely will be. Always is. I think, let me know what you guys think. King signed Dennis Schroeder. They're not able to trade Malik Monk. They're not able to trade Devin Carter. You know, maybe Trey Lyles isn't here anymore. Keon's still here. That's DeMar's still here, most importantly, I guess. The roster is what it is. I do think they have potential to be better than they were last year.
Oh,
like that was a 40-win team last year. with a bunch of mess.
Yeah.
I do believe that this is a team. I'm not ready to put them in the top six, but can they be a seven or eight, one of the top playing teams?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'm with you. I'm with you. The question is, playing last year was the numbers that you just mentioned was 48 wins. This is a 48 win basketball team.
What was the second one? It was a big discrepancy between the two, between
7 and 8,
8 and 9.
Yes.
Okay.
Is 48 to 40? It was 48 to 40.
I don't think it'll be that way again. I hear what you're saying. So I don't think that discrepancy is going to happen again between 8 and 9.